Good morning, friends. How are you this morning? Honestly, I did not know what I was going to teach on today. And I am not the person who likes to get up and just say something for the sake of saying something. I can't stand that. The reality is that my heart is always for people to deeply encounter his presence, because his presence is the game changer. And so as I was putting Angus to sleep, I heard the Lord say, when I asked him, Lord, what do you want to talk about? I heard this, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Because I was asking, you know, what's your message for your church, for your people? What do you want to say to them? And that's what I heard. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so I feel like in Western culture, we're at the pinnacle point where in a few days, our calendar is going to change. We're going to be in 2026. Can you believe it? I mean, if you were a Y2K-er, 26 years wasn't going to exist in the year 2000, 1999, you know? And here we are 26 years later. And the reality is, in Western culture, we get to this point where we actually begin to make New Year's resolutions, right? People decide, oh, they're going to work out. They're going to go to the gym. And gym memberships increase, you know, at the beginning of the year. And then people end up not following through. They start, but they can't finish, right? You're all nodding like, yeah, you got it. You're going to eat better. You're going to do better. You're going to. Yeah, you get that? Have you been there? Done that? Got that t-shirt? Me too. Do you know how many things I've started and not finished? Lots. Countless things. And so here we are on the edge of 2026. And we're going to make New Year's resolutions. And I think that the Lord has a resolution for us. And this is his invitation this morning. And the invitation is this: be aware of what you treasure. Because what you treasure, you will give it all of yourself. You will put time and energy into that thing. You will do investing on a very deep level. And what you treasure has the ability to do two things: draw you close, closer, and closer still, or draw you away further and further still. This verse that I heard, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, is found in two gospels, Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 12. Okay? I want to read to you out of Luke. Now, I'm actually going to read a lot of Luke so that it sets its context. I'm going to start Luke chapter 12. I'm reading out of the NASB this morning. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that day, they were stepping on one another. He began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Think about that. 2 sparrows. Not one of them is forgotten. Your hair, every number of your hair, numbered. Special attention is given. You are not forgotten, overlooked. Intention has been given to keep that number straight. Not one is cast aside or forgotten. Now, how many of you find yourself in circumstances feeling forgotten? And this is the one we're called to fear. But this word fear is not a scary fear. It's a reverential fear. It's the fear that takes place between a husband and a wife that allows them to endure every trial and tribulation to get to the point where they are married for years and years and years, honoring the marriage bed, honoring that singleness of heart. This is the fear that he calls us into because he's intimately involved with us. So this is the God who's intimately involved, and this is the one who's calling us to this relationship of honor. Fear him, because what he does can actually affect your forever. Amen. Not just your now existence, but your forevermore existence. And that fear is a call to intimacy. The marriage bed is a place of intimacy. To honor it is a place of intimacy. And he is calling you into him to see. So he can reveal into you who you are. Keeping going here. I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Can you imagine if April one day said, Scott who? I don't know that man. You've been married for how long?
45.
45 years. Can you imagine if all of a sudden she said, I don't know who that guy is? Or if she broke that invitation of intimacy, what would Scott's response be? You want no part of me? Fine. I'll have no part of you. We do this on the daily. Not only in intimate relationships, but in friendships and other things, where we get offended and we actually break relationship and create distance. Jesus wants us to confess that we know him. Jesus wants us to live our lives as though we are in an intimate relationship with him. Not pretend, but actually actively involved on the daily. It is in the mundaneness of life that we actually put together the practice of what we treasure and seek after. Are you tracking with me? So what does your daily practice look like? Is he someone that you only frequent on Sundays? You come in for a visit? And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogue and rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So someone in the crowd is listening to Jesus, and they said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And will say to my soul, soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have possessed? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.' And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So be dressed in readiness and keep your lamp lit." I'm going to stop there. In Advent, we were talking about hope. What kind of hope was it? Do you remember? A watching hope. Hope that is watching. On the daily, what are you watching for? I don't know about you. What's the first thing you pick up in the morning? Who texted me? Who emailed me? What's going on in the news? What's the first thing you pick up in the morning? What's the first thing you run to? What are you watching for? Because what you treasure, there you will invest in. There's nothing wrong with this gidgety gadget. But if you have to have the latest Gidgy gadget just because it's the latest and the greatest, guess what you're chasing? iPhone, Samsung, Google, whatever it's called. This is what you're investing in. This is where your treasure is. This is what your heart is following. And it is leading you to many places. But this will perish. And that will not help you when the King of Kings stands before you and everything that you've done in the darkness is now revealed in the light. And there will not be one word that will actually justify your inaction to actually yield and invest in the relationship that will count on the day that you enter eternity. And so what are you watching for? Where is your treasure? It's really hard. I think our spirits are all willing, but our flesh is so weak. We have not disciplined the flesh to carve out that time first, to go to the source of all life first. He's a fleeting afterthought. A garnish on the dish of life that we eat, rather than being the main course and everything else the garnish. What you treasure, your heart will follow. So watch with expectant hope in the mundane of life. In the trials and the tribulations, watch for him expectantly to break in. The second one that we focused on in Advent was peace. What kind of peace was it? A preparing peace. How do we prepare for peace? Quiet your soul. Do you have peace? Is there a stillness in your heart and your mind? A preparedness. And if you will invest here and treasure presence, you will find that your heart will be wrapped up in who he is and passion will rise within you. So much passion and the presence of the Lord that there will be absolutely not one enemy who could take you away from the presence and the practice of being with him. Does that make sense? Whether that enemy is your finances, your neighbor, within yourself because of guilt and shame, or the spiritual realm around you, there is a something that happens when we yield to presence. From there, we went to joy. What kind of joy is it? Those of you who were in here, you remember? Well, that's a song. Joy, unspeakable joy. But this word starts with an R and it ends with a T. Resilient. Thank you. Resilient joy. Because when we watch with expectation and we actually prepare with presence to receive that peace. Guess what comes running behind it? This joy that bubbles up because you now know with all certainty that he is your God and you are his. Have you ever met young lovers? Have you ever met somebody who's freshly in love? Do they walk around with a scowl on their face? Do they? No. What do they look like? Ridiculous. Who said ridiculous? Was that you? I love it. Julie, I love it. Ridiculous. They look ridiculous because all you see is this like, right? And joy is coming up. And not only with that joy is this courage, this resiliency. They could take on the world in that moment. Why? Because they know that the love and affection that they have is reciprocated back. There is a belonging. And what you treasure, you belong to. And it then belongs to you. So if Minecraft is what you treasure, right? Then Minecraft is what's going to get into you. And it teaches you about ghosts and goblins. But it doesn't teach you about Jesus, who is powerful enough to take all those ghosts and goblins away. No, it doesn't. And so Minecraft will become your treasure, and it will lead you into more games and further away from the presence of the Lord. And then Roblox. And then a whole bunch of other things, right? And who needs more Roblox? Not Miss Tab. I don't know about you, but do you get my point? And so really, I feel like God is saying, please pay attention to the daily mundane, what you treasure. Stop and ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is its purpose? Where is it leading me? Say that again, sweetheart.
Into badness.
Into badness. We want to go into the presence of the Lord. Because your joy will sustain every circumstance. Have you ever thought about Paul and Silas when they were taken into prison? Beaten. Taken into prison. All of us, if we were thrown into prison, would probably be like, God, why did you abandon me? Why do you hate me? Right? Come on, let's be honest. True? We would have a pity party. But they knew because of practicing presence, because watching expectantly on the daily, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Where are you leading me? They were not inactive in their relationship with the Lord. They were proactive with it. They knew that God would work through them if only they would stop to listen, watch, and wait. He was not the God of their fathers or the God of their grandchildren or great-grandchildren, but he was the God of the now, breaking in to current moments. And what did they do? Not throw a pity party. They started praising the Lord with joy, thankful that they had gotten beaten, and they began to worship him in the midst of being shackled, in the midst of being thrown into the dungeon, in the midst of where they should have despaired. They had resilient joy, and that resilient joy unlocked doors for them and brought in people into the kingdom. Because joy is contagious. And everybody is looking for joy. Which then went to love. What kind of love? The love of Jesus. And what does that look like?
Self-giving.
Self-giving. We are actually wired to love more than anything else. You find that first in family units. Even when they're broken and disastrous, we still seek it out, love. And then when you get into an intimate relationship, love is what actually flourishes. From that, you have a child. Oh my gosh, you encounter a new level of love you've never seen before. Because at that moment, what you thought you would do for your mother and your father and your siblings, lay down your life, what you expected you would do for your spouse when it comes to a child, all of the hesitations are gone. You would willingly lay down your life without a second thought or hesitation for a child. Now you take that one step further and love transforms itself again when you become a grandchild. You just wait. You discover another depth of love that you didn't even think existed. And so there's a depth of love that comes and transforms you, and it pushes you one step further into selflessness. And this is a dying to self. But our Western society is so focused on self. Like, we have every app under the sun to tell people who we are and reveal to them what's actually going in our lives. But the reality is, this is a false sense of identity and relationship and love. It is focused on self with nothing coming back. So what, you get 5,000 likes. Because when the rubber meets the road and you find yourself in really dark places, you're not going to post that online, are you? And so the reality is that you are going to project an image of you that isn't true. And this is all about who you are becoming and who you are. And so I subject to you for your consideration that this is eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why do I say that? Because Satan tricked Eve by saying, did God really say? And so we put on becoming our own God said people to define who we are. And sacrifice intimacy of relationship to be known, to be seen, to be heard, to be communicated with, to be invested in for the sake of likes and what somebody else has to say about us. And the reality is that in the moment that you take your last breath, those likes fade. The perceptions of who you are disappear, and you will see the truth of who you are and who you should have been. I know this is heavy, but the days are getting darker. And so you must invest in the things that will last for eternity. Our Western culture goes chasing after material things, status, bank accounts, keeping up with the Joneses, gadgets. And Jesus warns us, don't chase after those things. And so it's really important that you invest in the things that God is actually invested in, which is relationship. Not 4,000 square foot home or a new car.
Jesus died on a cross for our sins.
He did, sweetheart. He did. And so, when we do this, selflessly give ourselves over to him, yielding our agendas, putting him first, watching with hope. This is a circle, it keeps going around. Preparing with peace, preparing with presence, and finding resilient joy come from that love of selflessness. Guess who is going to be made manifest in and through you on the daily, in the mundane? And this is Christ, the greatest treasure of all. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's buried in a field. The one who finds it goes and sells everything they have in order to occupy that treasure. He also says that if something causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better that you go maimed throughout life, lacking that thing, than enter eternity and be thrown into the depths of hell. It's sometimes really easy to sing in a crowd of people who are singing in a direction towards a king, and then walk out the door and forget that he's still king on your throne and in your life. I pray that you would take all of the things that you think are really important, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ in presence, lay them down at his feet, and that you would return to presence daily, at least once. But oh my gosh, how many times do you feed yourself a day? If you're a snacker, then it might be every 3 hours. And return to him again and again and again, laying down those things and listening and practicing presence. So I challenge you, spend time in the Word. Spend time waiting in presence. Do an accounting of your schedule and your firsts. What's the first thing you reach for in the morning? And put things back into proper place. Because his presence is a game changer. And it truly is the one thing you all really want. And it's the thing I really want. I pray that the Lord would give us courage to purge the clutter in here and in here. Because what you treasure there, your heart will be. Amen.